That's good singing. I'll tell you, that lights my fire. If that don't light your fire, your wood is wet. Amen. If that don't ring your bell, your clapper's broke. Amen. I don't know what it is about ladies, but I just think ladies have beautiful voices. Maybe it's because I'm a man, but I just love it. Amen. Take your Bibles and turn to John chapter 17. John chapter 17. We're dealing with vision, the power of oneness. I'm glad I'm dealing with vision and not the men's conference, because the oneness, I'm not talking about that cuddling oneness now today. I've been worried, because ever since we had the class, they were telling me about cuddling, and I said, I don't cuddle but with one. That's my wife. Amen. All right. John 17. You got your place? Let's all stand in reverence to the reading of God's holy, infallible, inspired, inerrant word. Here is the high priestly prayer of our Lord Jesus Christ. Here's what he's praying for you. Here's what he's praying for me in his church. John 17, verse 21. That they all, and I've got the word all circled in my Bible, that they all may be one, as thou, Father, art in me, and I in thee, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that thou hast sent me. And the glory which thou gavest me, I have given them, that they may be one even as we are one, I in them, and thou in me, that they may be made perfect in one, and that the world may know that thou hast sent me, and hast loved them as thou hast loved me. Father, we thank you for the reading of your word. We know your word is perfect without any error. And we pray now, O God, your Holy Spirit would teach us these words. God will not have church as usual. We thank you that the Holy Spirit is always in attendance to the reading of the Word of God. We thank you for your presence here today. We've already felt it as we've been singing praises unto you. We praise you, O God, for the Son of your love, for Jesus who died and is gone above. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Racism, sexism, terrorism, socialism, communism, legalism, materialism, you go on and on, even denominationalism has divided us. America is more divided than ever. No longer are we called the United States of America, we are called the divided states of America. We've become a divided people. I think our elections for the last few years have shown us how divided our nation is. How is it going to change? Well, let me tell you, let me just address racism for a minute. Racism is really not a skin problem, it's a sin problem. Because it comes down to what's in your heart. Do you know we all bleed red? Yeah? And we all are human beings, and we all have hearts, and everybody deserves love and respect. Amen? And you shouldn't look at I had the joy some years ago of preaching a crusade in Jamaica. And one thing I loved about the Jamaican people, they didn't think about the color of their skin. That's just not, that don't cross their mind. I was the only white man there. I did think about it. I was the only one white. Everybody else was black. But I loved it because no one else, no discussion. So racism is not a problem of the skin. It's the problem of the sin that's in our hearts. It really is. Sexism and all the other isms, legalism and denominationalism, all these things that keep dividing us. John 17 is the vision and the prayer Jesus has for his church. And you may not know this, but his greatest burden for his followers was that there would be oneness, unity. When Christians are one, we provide a visible and a tangible witness to the world. Now, in the sports world, a common chat is, if you're a Duke fan, or if you're a Carolina fan, or whatever fan you are, we're number one, we're number one. You'll hear them chant, we're number one, we're number one. Various teams and cheerleaders and fans will extend their index fingers skyward, and they'll proclaim their own greatness. But in the Church of Jesus Christ, there can only be one. And the goal of truly being one is incredibly important. But instead of chanting, we're number one, we're number one, we need to be chanting, we are one, we are one. And that's what the church must chant. You see, with all that we're dealing with in our world today, is there any possibility that there could really be oneness? And the answer is yes. The answer is yes. The answer is in Jesus Christ. He's the only way we can truly have oneness. Now, last week, we dealt with those things that make for peace. And I said this last week, that the devil had rather send division in the body of Christ than to open a porno palace or a new beer distillery. Satan wants to divide the body of Christ called the church. What God wants for the church is unity. And let me tell you three things about unity. Number one, I said it last week, it is the desire of the Savior. Jesus wants unity in the church. Right here in John 17:22, Jesus is praying his highly priestly prayer, and he's praying, Father, may they be one even as you and I are one. That's a powerful prayer. By the way, Jesus prayed it. Listen to me, church, and God hears the prayers of Jesus. Hello? And then, not only is the desire of the Savior, it's the delight of the saved. There's nothing more heartbreaking than to be in a church where there is division. There is nothing more glorious than to be in a church where there's a sweet, sweet spirit, where there's a loving spirit in that fellowship of church members. And that's why the psalmist said in Psalm 133:1, behold, how good it is and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. And then third of all, unity is the dread of Satan. Satan gets very nervous when the church unifies for the glory of God. He knows that great things can be accomplished for God's glory when the church is unified. And from the very beginning, Satan has always been jealous of who God is. The reason Lucifer, that angel of light, was kicked out of heaven, because he tried to exalt himself. He wanted the glory instead of giving glory to God. Listen to me carefully, church. When we are one, it gives glory to God. When we're not one, it gives glory to the devil. But how do we as church, how do we as a church function as one? We don't. He does. Both in us and through us. When you got saved, you were baptized in the body of Christ. No matter what our race, gender, or class is, when each of us came to faith in Jesus, we entered into a new family. We didn't create God's family. He created us. We became a part of it. That's so important to realize, because far too often we're trying to force unity without authentic unity. And when authentic unity cannot be mandated, nor can it be manufactured. You can't make it happen. Instead, God says it this way. He says in Ephesians 4:3, preserve the unity of the Spirit. The Holy Spirit has created our unity. It is our job to preserve it. The key word preserve here is that we are to maintain what God has already instilled in the body of Christ. So are y'all ready for the preaching now? All right, listen up. Let's get into the word. Number one, the power of unity. The power of unity. What is the power? We're talking about something that the world don't understand. And Satan is doing everything he can to divide our nation. He's done a number on the United States of America. He's tried, and I'll tell you, listen to me carefully. Satan knows. Satan's no fool. He knows how he knows he's the enemy, and he knows how to come against us. He's tried to use terrorism to divide us, to destroy our nation, but our military is too strong. And so my prediction is this: Satan is going to do everything he can to destroy us from within. And that's what's happening in America. You're seeing a lot of division. I've named all the isms this morning. But what is the power of unity? Number one is the cross. Look at verse 11. That they may be one as we are one. How can you and I become one as the Father and the Son are one? That's a heavy-duty statement. Jesus is praying, Father, may they be one as you and I are one. Now, I don't want no distractions in this service. I want you to give your heart. Don't be talking to nobody. Don't be shaking their hand. I want you to be listening very carefully. This is an important hour in our church. Because, see, Jesus is praying that you and I would be one, even as the Father and the Son are one. Look at the cross for a moment. With one arm stretched to man, and one arm stretched to God. Jesus is the one who makes us one at the cross. When we are not in unity, the problem comes back to the cross. If the cross brings unity, we are not in unity, then it may mean that someone has not come to the cross of Jesus. And that means, you see, sin and pride and selfishness, all of those things that bring disunity, were to be crossed out at the cross. Are y'all following me? When Jesus died on the cross, he died so that we could be made right with the Holy God. We were at enmity between God. Man and God were at enmity. But because of Jesus Christ, we can be made one. God, here's Jesus. He's got God's hand on one end. He's got you on the other. And God joins us together by crossing us out, crossing our selfishness out, crossing our pride out, crossing our sin out, so he could get in us. And because of the cross, we have the power of unity. There's a oneness that you can't explain. We're not together here just because we believe the same thing. It's because of who we are in Jesus Christ. It's not what we are, it's who we are. And then that's the next word I want to give you. The power of unity is Christ. Verse 21, first part, that they all may be one as thy Father are in me and I in thee, that they also, now listen to this, may be one in us. Jesus Christ is the person of unity. Christ is the power of God uniting sinful man to holy God. Jesus Christ made all the difference. The power of his name alone brings unity. Look at verse 11 again, about the last part of it. Keep through thy own name those whom thou have given me. Look at verse 12. While I was with them in the world, I kept them in thy name. There's power in the name of Jesus. And as Christians, we have the same name. Hey, we have the same name as Christ. Christians, we're Christians. We're to be like Christ. And we're like Christ when we are one with God and with one another. As the Father and the Son are one, we're to be one because of the cross, because of Christ. And then third of all, yes, there is conviction. Look what he says in verse 21, that the world may believe that thou hast sent me. In other words, you can say, I believe the Bible, but you don't believe it any better than you live it. You can say, I believe in worshiping God, but you don't really believe in worship. Not if you lift your hand to praise God and then you use your hand to slap someone or to hurt someone. There's a contradiction there. What is your conviction when we need to be a people of conviction? What will convince the world that Jesus Christ is who he says he is? The power of oneness in the family of God. This is how they, the world, will know that you are of me. Listen, church, are you listening? How you love one another. In other words, how do you treat one another? That will tell the world that you are of me. Our text says that Jesus prayed for all who would call upon his name to be one. And a watching world would be drawn to believe in Christ because they see something different in us. Here Jesus shares one of the most overlooked tools of evangelism. Jesus says, when a watching lost world looks at a body called the body of believers, the church, they see something that they can't find anywhere else. They see love, they see support, they see encouragement, they see acceptance, and they're going to be drawn to Jesus because of our love one for another. Are y'all listening today? Jesus said, this is how they'll know. This is the conviction we need to have as a church. This is how the world will know you of me, how you love one another. That's right here. That's right here. He didn't say that the world's going to be drawn because of great preaching. He didn't say it's going to be by great singing. They would call hordes of people to be drawn to Christ. He said, in effect, I'm praying that they'll be one as the Heavenly Father and I are one, and that unity will draw them to the gospel. There's power in unity. And then there's purpose, the purpose of unity. The purpose of unity, I've already stated it in verse 22, is glory. It says, and the glory. God gets the glory out of it. I'm going to tell you, I'm going to say it again, church. I'm saying it right today. The devil is glorified when you and I are not in unity. Yeah, the devil's glorified. We glorify the devil when we act like the devil. Amen. Amen. And anybody can act like the devil. Anybody can be rude. Anybody can be mean. Anybody can be hard. You know why a lot of people are hard? Because their hearts are hard. Yep. You know why a lot of people are difficult? Because there's difficulty going on in their hearts. I'll tell you, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. Yep. Amen? Amen? You know, last Sunday, I preached my heart out about how that we're to edify one another. I have not ever read in Scripture where it says we're to tear one another down. That's not in the Bible. But it's all over the Bible. You're supposed to edify. I'm going to tell you something. We live in a world that when people come in the church, they don't need to be criticized, they need to be loved. Because the world will criticize you. The world will chew you up, spit you out, and say, and laugh about it. But we as Christians are to be just the opposite. We're to do what?
Love.
Do you have love?
Amen.
Huh? Do you have love? If you've got Jesus, you got love. Amen? Amen? God is love. And I want you to think about how this gives God great glory. The Greek word for glory here is doxa. We get our word doxology from that. It means splendor, honor, praise. Doxa is where God gets glory. And God will show up in His glory when you and I are together in love, in unity. You see, God loves unity. Think about the unity of the Trinity. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. And there's only one God. Can I get an amen? There are not many gods. And we are the body, listen, the body of Christ. You know what gives glory to God? That we all know who the head of the body is. His name is who? Jesus is the head of the body, and anything with two heads is a freak. There's only one head, and His name is Jesus. And by the way, if I'm rightly related to the head and you're rightly related to the head, we're all going to be walking together. Amen? That's right. And you know what? When we're not walking together, it says somebody's not following the head. When there's strife and discord and division, I'll tell you something. It gives the glory to the devil, not to God, and how disappointing that is. Think about the unity of the Trinity. My, what God is doing there. I can't explain the Trinity. I really can't. I'm not that smart. I don't think nobody is that smart. I can't understand how there can be Father, Son, and Spirit, and yet there's only one. And yet that's what the Bible says, and I believe it, just like it says it. There are not many gods, there's only one God. And I believe it all in my heart that that's what God's trying, that's what Jesus is saying, I want to happen in you. He said, I want to give you my glory. He loves it when we give Him all the glory. When we are not working together in unity, Satan is getting the glory, and Jesus said, I've given them glory in verse 22. Glory calls attention to the holiness and the righteousness and the purity of who God is. Jesus represented the glory and the holiness of God, and we have received the call to receive His glory in that He has set us apart. We are sanctified. And that's something I want you to be thinking about today. And that is that I'm going to close talking about justification, that we are made right with a holy God through the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. But there's the process of sanctification. We're growing in His likeness. That's giving Him glory. And thank God one day there will be glorification. We're going to be out of here. Amen. And we won't have to deal with this anymore. But do you give glory to God? Listen to me carefully, church. Carefully hear what I've got to say. You will be the happiest person on the face of this earth when you're giving God glory, because God created you for His glory. He didn't create you for you. And even in the church, we're seeing more and more we seem to be focused on us. We want our kind of music. We want our kind of service. We want the preacher to preach the right kind of words. We want everything done our way. You know, isn't that the truth? I don't hear many people talking about may God have His will and way. Amen. You know, part of the Sunday school lesson today was the fact that we want things done a certain way. We are privileged. What was the word? I forget.
Entitlement.
The church wants entitlement. Well, I'm a member. I'm entitled. You gave up your rights when you received Jesus Christ. You did. It's no longer about you. Listen, church, it's all about Him. And here's the beauty. I'm trying to help you here. When you give God glory, whoa, your life is just going to take off. It's going to be fun. It's fun giving God glory. Amen?
Amen.
Some of you say, well, preacher, how do you give God glory? Just thank Him for everything. Amen? What if everybody came into this church today and worshiped with a heart of gratitude? Would that give God glory? And you know what? Everybody would be happy in here. But you know, just sure as anything, if one of us try to steal God's glory, it robs all of us of the joy. And I want to talk about that too in just a moment. All right. And then He talks about a gift here. Think about this. Which thou gavest me, verse 22, which thou gavest me, and now He's saying, I'm giving them. You gave it to me, I'm giving it to them. What is the gift? Well, we're not finished talking about the Trinity, really. As the Father has given us the Son has given us the Holy Spirit. As the Holy Spirit was in Jesus on earth, so is the Holy Spirit now living in us. Listen, what happened on the day of Pentecost? The Bible says that all the disciples were together in what? One accord. They were in unity. Acts 2:1. And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord, unity, in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing, mighty wind, the Bible says. And what happened? It filled all that were in the house that were sitting. God will fill His people with His power and His purpose when we're in one accord. But He won't do it if we're divided. The gift is the Holy Spirit. 1 Corinthians 12:13. For by one Spirit we were all baptized into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, whether slaves or free, we were all made to drink of one Spirit. God must be free to work in us before He can work for us. Now, we want God to work for us. Our prayer is that God would work for me, change my situation, answer my prayer. And God says, I hear you, but I can't work for you until you let me work in you. Because I'm trying to do something in you so that what I'm doing in you can show up out of you. But if I can't work in you, then I have nothing to produce out of you. So if I allow it to come through me so it can get to you, then let me do what I will do in you so it will show up out of you when I work through you. Did y'all get that? I'm going to tell you what. This is what Jesus is saying. What the Father have given me, now I'm going to give to you. Okay? And I'm going to work through you so that I'll get all the glory. The Father will get the glory because, listen to me carefully, and I've dealt with this charismatic stuff, and I don't go along with a lot of it for this reason. My study of the Holy Spirit is this. The Holy Spirit never talks about Himself. He only talks about the Father and the Son. Be careful. Be very careful when you, because this is the way I was taught as a child. The evidence of salvation is that you speak in tongues. Friend, the evidence of salvation is not whether you speak in tongues. That's a gift of the Spirit. The evidence is that your life has been changed, that Jesus Christ has come in. And I'm going to tell you, here's the evidence that you're saved. God gives you a birthday gift when you get saved called the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit will teach you all truth. He will guide you. He will comfort you. And I'm telling you, this is a precious gift. You say, preacher, ever since you've been here, you've talked a whole lot about the Holy Spirit. I've had several of you say, we've never heard a preacher talk about the Holy Spirit. Folks, let me tell you something. I can't do nothing without Him. I can't. Man, I'd be embarrassed to get in that pulpit without the anointing of the Holy Spirit. We need God's power. You want the power of unity? Let the Holy Ghost have His way. Amen. We need a double dose of the Holy Ghost. You say, preacher, I'm afraid we're going to become a bunch of Babelcostals. Well, praise the Lord. Amen. It's about time we liven up. The church has been dead too long. We serve a risen Savior. And Jesus said, what I have, I'm going to give to you. I'm giving you my name. We'll call you Christians, Christians, okay? I'm going to call you Christ. I'm going to give you my power. Now, you go in this upper room. You wait for me. Look up here, young folks. Waiting's hard, isn't it? Man, I'm just like you kids. I want it now. Man, I like that microwave. I like everything now. But God says, well, those who wait upon the Lord, they shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not grow weary. They shall walk and not faint. I had rather wait on the Lord and experience His power and His strength. And that takes time. It takes time in prayer. It takes time in commitment to the Lord. And I want to say a quick word about this. God's given us so much, church, and I love every one of you dearly. I want us to commit ourselves to give to Him like He's given to us. I'm talking about our lives. I'm talking about if you're serving God in any area, stay committed to it. Because you know what? What you do affects the whole body. Really. You know, you've heard one bad apple destroys the whole bunch. We all need to stay together. God has given us precious gifts. Hey, listen, when I operate in my gift and you operate in your gift, that the Holy Spirit of God's going to be, you're talking about I'm going to have a spell. You're talking about the glory of God. When God comes down in a church is when the church really is operating in spiritual gifts. And every member of the body has been placed in that body as it pleases God, to the glory of God. Someone maybe who has the gift of prayer, and they're over here praying for the sick. Or someone else has the gift of teaching, and someone else has the gift of encouragement. We all need each other, church. And when you are not doing what God has gifted you to do, you are crippling the body of Christ. You're really, no wonder the church walks around like, we can't hardly make it. We're poor. We're barely alive. You know why? Because we need everyone operating in their spiritual gift. God, the Holy Spirit's given us everything we need to live out the Christian life. You can't live the Christian life, but the Holy Spirit of God can. And that goes to the next word, and that's godly. That they may be one even as we are one. We are most like God when we're giving. Giving what? Giving our time, as Sammy said. I'm going to tell you know, I thought about you students. In fact, we were talking about y'all. I was talking to several people about our students this week. And I'd heard that Alan was trying to put together a grass cutting team. And I told Larry, I said, you know, that's a good idea. Because you know what? Students who maybe they don't have an income, they don't tithe, but you can tithe your time. And by the way, you know what excites me about the possibility of doing this? Because I believe this church is you just as much as I do anybody else. And I believe if everybody does their part, everything runs here smoothly. Amen? We need the children involved. We need the youth involved. We need the middle adults involved. We need the senior adults involved. And I'm going to tell you, you're talking about something godly when Christians are all working together. Christians we may not see everything together, but I want you to get this, because I'm not talking about uniformity here when I talk about unity. Christians of all doctrinal shades and beliefs must come together in one visible organization regardless. Unite, unite. Such teaching is really false, reckless, and it's dangerous. Because you see, truth alone must determine our alignments. Truth comes before unity. Unity without truth is hazardous. Our Lord's Prayer in John 17 must be read in the full context. Look at verse 17 of chapter 17. He says, sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. Only those sanctified through the word can be one in Christ. To teach otherwise is to betray the gospel. You see, the truth of the matter is, the only way there can be oneness is because God has put us together. Look up here, everybody, look up here. You're not a mistake. God put you here. Amen. And you might feel like you're insignificant. You might feel like, you know, well, I'm just a nobody. You are a somebody. And everybody is somebody in Christ's body. Amen. Man, that was well said. I'll be all right. Hey, everybody is somebody in Christ's body. And if you feel like you're a nobody, then you're not giving God any glory with that. And you're not using your gift. And that's not being godly. You want to be a godly purpose. The purpose of your unity is to give God all the glory. And we're to operate with spiritual gifts. And when we do that, friend, God is getting the glory, and we're becoming more like Him. That's the process of sanctification. And we're going to end now talking about justification. The prayer of unity. Here's the prayer of unity. Verse 23. Jesus is the person of unity. Jesus is the person of unity. He says, I in them, and thou in me. You see that in verse 23. Now go back to verse 12. While I was with them in the world, I kept them in thy name. Those that thou gavest me, I have kept. I like these words. And none of them is lost. I'm telling you something. I serve a Savior who has keeping power. I don't know where people ever got the idea that you can get saved and get lost. I'm going to tell you something. I believe if you truly are saved, it's not you that keeps your salvation, it's Jesus. And it's not your salvation, it's His salvation. Amen. You didn't save you, He saved you. Jesus is the person of unity. Jesus is praying for His keeping power to keep us protected from the enemy. The entire prayer of Jesus in John 17 is about vision, the power of unity for the body of Christ. Here is the heart of our Lord. I'm telling you, what a privilege we have today
to study the very prayer, to hear the prayer that Jesus prayed. This is not the model prayer. This is the prayer Jesus prayed. And what is his prayer? That you and I would be one. That's what the whole chapter is about. Even as you and he's saying to the Father, even as you and I are one, Father, may they be one as we're one. And the same glory you've given me, I'm going to give it to them. I'm going to give them my power. I'm going to go and sit at the right hand of the Father and make intercession. Jesus is the person of unity. And then joy really is, now listen to this, is the prayer of unity. Jesus is the person, but if you read over and over this chapter, he talks a lot about joy. He says that they may be made perfect in one. That's talking about maturity now and completeness. And that they may, that now listen to what he says, that they might have my joy. Whoa. Do you think Jesus had joy? Amen. He wants the joy of the Lord to be in his house. Amen. Amen. I just think God's people ought to be the most joyful people on the face of the earth. Not just happiness. Happiness is based on what happens to you. But when you got joy, you can have joy in the peace of a storm. You can have joy regardless of what comes your way. The entire prayer is really about the joy of the Lord. The word perfect in the Greek means brought to complete unity. Not perfect as though we've never sinned or done anything wrong, but that we might be mature in our walk, that we might be mature in our beliefs, that we might be mature, and that we might have a joy, the Bible says, that's unspeakable and full of glory. There should be joy and gladness when there is unity and maturity. I'll tell you, when people are not operating with spiritual gifts and they're not working together, it brings disunity and there's no joy because everybody is frustrated. They don't know what anybody else is supposed to do. Everybody is going different directions. But when everybody comes together because of the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ, it brings joy. I'm going to end this thing talking about the word justification. Justification is the plan of unity. That's the last thing. Let me tell you something, folks. This is a strong word biblically. There's been a lot of confusion about it. But the Bible says in verse 23, and that the world may know that thou hast sent me, and has loved them as thou hast loved me. The driving call is that the world may know. We should be willing to yield our selfish desires to the greater goal of extending the love of Christ to the lost world. Now, the Greek word for know here is the word geniso, which means to know absolutely, to know an intimate relationship, recognizing the relationship that's in Christ. So that's what I want to end talking about today. When Jesus died on that cross and he shed his precious red ruby royal blood on that cross, that blood drawn from Emmanuel's veins, I'll tell you something, when you prayed that prayer of and that's regeneration. When you receive Jesus as your Savior, we're not talking about justification right now. We're talking about when you accept Christ, when Jesus, you invite him into your heart, that's regeneration. When you're born again, you prayed and you asked Jesus, now listen to me, to come into your heart. What Jesus does for you is this. Just as he is saying, I'm giving you the same glory that I have. I'm giving to my people who work in unity. I'm giving you my spirit. I'm giving you the Holy Spirit. I'm giving you my joy. He's saying, now I'm going to give you my righteousness. We are declared righteous in Jesus Christ because of his blood. Not because you prayed a prayer to receive Christ, but because of Christ himself. He is our righteousness. You understand? And because he is righteous, Jesus said, be ye holy for I'm holy. We can walk together in unity because we've been made right with a holy God. He is the reason. He is here's the prayer of unity, is that there would be a justification. Sinners are in the wrong before God. They have broken the law. The law showed us how wrong we were. The law showed us how sinful we were. But you see, it was in that sinfulness that we deserve punishment. But on the cross, Christ took our place. And now, when we put our trust in Christ, we are declared to be right, acquitted, justified because of the price, Jesus. That's redemption. Jesus paid our sin debt so we wouldn't have to. And here's what I want you to get. I know a lot of people are confused about this, but here's the bottom line is, Jesus is saying in John 17, what the Father has given me, I'm giving to you. That don't light y'all's fire, does it? I'm going to tell you what it'll bring revival to us. Jesus is saying, He said this, because I'm going to go to the Father. I'm going to send my Comforter, my Spirit, and He will guide you and teach you everything you need to know. That's why, now hear me, and I don't mean to go back to this, but I'm going in here. We don't need to rely on what man thinks. You can read all the Bible translations you want. You can read all the commentaries, but there's no one that can teach truth like the Holy Spirit. No one. You say, well, preacher, that's the problem. We don't know how to let the Holy Spirit teach us. Well, here's how you do it. You pray. And you say, dear Lord, forgive me of all my sins. I want clean hands and a pure heart. I pray this prayer every day. I encourage you to pray it. Keep me close, clean, and clear. I want to be a good listener. And the Holy Spirit, many, many, many times have shown up. He's shown up right there and said, this is how I can. I've got books galore. They're still in boxes. I never got shelves built at the house, so I got books still in boxes. I've been here 3 years and my books are still in boxes. That's okay. I thought about it yesterday. I'd rather depend on the Holy Spirit than all those books I got. I got a lot of books, but a book will only tell me what another man thinks. This is the challenge. Get your heart right before God, honestly. Say, Lord, teach me. Lay down on the floor and just say, oh, God, I need you. I can't do it without you, Lord. I'm sunk. Lord, I can't preach. I know I'm not a preacher. But, God, if you'll get in me, you'll fill me with your Holy Spirit. If you'll stand in my body, think with my mind, speak through my mouth, God can use anybody. We've been made right with a holy God through Jesus Christ. We have oneness with the Father through Jesus Christ. We have oneness with the Son through Jesus Christ. We have oneness in the Spirit. I'll tell you, church, what happens here. This is the vision Jesus had. The power of oneness is what Jesus will do in a human heart. He'll change your heart. You say, preacher, you don't know me. I'm a big sinner. I'm a heathen. I'm going to tell you, I serve a big God, and He's bigger than all the sins you've got. There was this man going to jump. I picked this story up. He was going to jump off a bridge. He was going to commit suicide. And this guy asked him, said, why are you going to do that? Why are you going to jump? He said, I don't have nothing to live for. Well, the guy said, yeah, you got something to live for. He said, are you religious? He said, yes, I'm religious. He said, are you a Christian or are you a Buddhist? He said, I'm a Christian. And the man trying to get him not to jump said, well, I am too. He said, are you Catholic or Protestant? He said, Protestant. He said, me too. He said, are you a Presbyterian, Methodist or a Baptist? He said, I'm a Baptist. He said, wow, me too. Are you a Baptist Church of God or are you a Baptist Church of the Lord? And he said, Baptist Church of God. He said, me too. Are you a regional Baptist of God or are you a Reformed Baptist Church of God? He said, Reformed Baptist Church of God. He said, me too. Are you Reformed Baptist Church of God, Reformation of 1879 or Reformed Baptist Church of God, Reformation 1915? He said, Reformed Baptist Church of God, Reformation of 1915. And the guy looked to him, he said, jump, you heretic, jump. And he pushed him off the bridge. You know what? I'm afraid that's what we do a lot of times. You know, Gordy joined our church last Sunday, and Gordy is a challenge. He loves to debate, which is good, because that's how you learn. But one thing I've picked up real quick with Gordy, he's not going to push anybody off the bridge. No, he's humble. And just because all of us may not see something the same way, never should we ever fall out with each other. Never should we shoot our own wounded. You know, there should never be friendly fire. We're called to be one in Christ. That's the big picture, isn't it? I can already tell you, and Gordy don't know this, I don't agree with Gordy on everything, but he's still my brother in Christ. That's what matters, amen? Alan and I, we don't agree on everything, but I love him. He's my brother in Christ. That's what matters here in this church, amen? And this is how Jesus said, lost people are going to get saved, how we love one another. Am I right, church?
Amen.
That's the vision our Lord has. Is that your vision? That's the prayer he prayed. Would you pray that prayer? Maybe today. This altar is wide open. The deacons are here. Maybe you need to come today and say, God, I want to be a stepping stone. We talked about this last week, and not a stumbling block. Lord, if someone has to step on me to come to Jesus, then let them step on me. Amen? That's all right. You know what? I'll get down here with anybody, and I'll pray with them, and I'll be the step if it means them getting closer to God. You say, Pastor, have you ever had people step on you? Oh, yeah, all three of them. But you know what? The bigger picture is this, is that we're building the kingdom of God. It's not about me. It's not about you. It's all about Him. Let's bow our head. Every head bowed, every eyes closed. As our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed, I wonder if there's someone here today who would be saying, Preacher Ronnie, can you really be made right with a holy God? Can you be one with God? And the answer is yes, you can, because Jesus died for you. He died for you. Do I need to say it again? He died for you. If you were the only person living, He still would have died for you. I'm telling you today, you're not here by chance. It's not an accident. This invitation is a divine appointment. Folks, we can let so many things bind us up. Racism, sexism, terrorism, socialism, communism, legalism, materialism, all these is, even denominationalism. But I'm so thankful that God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. His grace is what sets us free. Church, don't get bound up in isms. Don't get bound up in little trivial things that won't matter for all eternity. What matters for all eternity is that you prayed for those five souls and you led those five people to Jesus. And church, I want to promise you this today. I promise you this. If we'll start winning souls, we'll see our church shine with the glory of God, and God will show His favor on this church like you've never seen. Jesus died for souls. That's what we've got to do as a church. We've got to lead the lost to Jesus. If you're here today and you don't know Jesus, would you pray this prayer right now, right where you are? Just right now. Maybe you prayed it yesterday at the WANA meeting. But if you want to know that you know Jesus, would you ask Him to come into your heart right now? You can just pray it silently. Say, Dear God, I know I'm a sinner. I ask You to forgive me of all my sins. I ask You to come into my heart and save my soul. And from this day on, I commit my life to Jesus Christ. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.